Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor. Man, we have some great guests today.
Pete Doherty,
Green Bay Press Gazette, Senator Gary Drzewicki, talked about today being Polka Day, the anniversary of polka becoming the official dance of the state of Wisconsin. Now we've got Jane Benson on, Wisconsin Grassroots Festival in Appleton. Are you guys having a polka band there, Jane?
No.
Okay, just checking.
There's a little bit of a tie to what we talked about this morning with the senator on getting the polka to be the state dance. It was a small group that started, and that's what you do. I mean, tell us a little bit more about your annual, about your organization, but this is the 15th annual, and this is the Grassroots, which is... In politics, they always tell you, you know, the grassroots is where things come from.
That's absolutely right. So this is the 15th annual Wisconsin Grassroots Festival. It's being held in Lawrence University at the Warch Campus Center on Saturday, May 4th.
Nice place.
Oh, yes. It's a beautiful place, a beautiful place. People will love it. And the grassroots organization, The Network, supports community-based grassroots organizations and helps them to grow. So what they're doing is they're connecting. We have about 50 different tablers who, like the Sierra Club, Wisconsin Conservation Voters, Medicare for all kinds of different organizations are setting up tables. And then all the attendees come in and they're looking to connect with those organizations. That's one of the main purposes. So,
and these organizations need, like, I don't know, the volunteers, the support, the grassroots.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. It's bringing the grassroots people forward so they're heard, they're seen, and their boots are on the ground in this election
season. Face to face.
And out of those, I mean, there's 50, there's going to be something you connect with.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And people connect with something they maybe had an experience with. You know, if it's, you know, anything health-wise or, and that's going to be out there. I mean, you've got so many, such a variety. We said Sierra Club, everybody knows that, but there's a lot of smaller ones, too, that need
support. Absolutely. Right. Plus, we've got 6 keynote speakers, 18 breakout sessions where you can learn about different topics. Plus, we've got entertainment. We've got food. There's a huge amount going on over the course of the day.
I see a name on your entertainment that Garrison Keillor. I haven't seen his name in a while, but I know he was always an advocate for, you know, getting involved in the community.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So Garrison, he'll be on at 7 o'clock at night after the main event is over. So the main event runs, doors open at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it ends about 5 o'clock. And then there'll be food with food trucks or something like that after the event. Then our Wisconsin Revolution is putting on live bands, starting at 6 o'clock. And then Garrison Keillor has a performance at 7 o'clock.
I got to find out, though, who the Raging Grannies are.
You bet. they stem out of Madison, and they are political.
Okay.
And they love to rile things up, and they're full of enthusiasm, and they wear crazy costumes, and they're there for a good laugh and a strong message.
Outstanding.
Yep, and Tom Castle has been a staple with the festival, and he provides music kind of in between and as an opener, and he's terrific as well.
So back to these Raging Grannies. That's a cool name. That's a fun name. Do they have a...
We could be the Raging Grandpas.
The washed up grandpas.
Yeah. So the over the hill grandpas.
We're both grandfathers, so that we can say that. We can say that. But do they have a cause? Do they have something, a mission, or do they just teach you how to shake the leaves?
It's political activism.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're just looking to get people aware and involved.
Cool. Yeah.
I thought it might be interesting for you to ask, like, who's coming from the farthest away?
I was just going to get to that. Who's coming from the farthest away?
The farthest away is Alan Minsky, who's the current executive director of the Progressive Democrats of America. So he's coming all the way from California, and he's going to do a keynote speech, and then he's going to do a breakout session with Pat Scogan, and they're going to talk about the progressive vision for rural America.
How did you get this up here? Because normally it's Madison. Is that correct?
No, normally it's Mazamani, which is south and west of Madison.
What's the name of it?
Mazamani.
I've never heard of that. Have you?
Yeah.
Well,
Mazamani.
Absolutely. Mazamani. Yeah. So the way it works that it came to Appleton is we were invited by the Young Democrats and the Democratic Socialists of America, who are those are clubs that are part of Lawrence University organizations. So they got a hold of John Stanley, who's the organizer for Wisconsin Grassroots Network, and said, you know, why don't you come to Appleton? Come up a little further to the middle of the state and let's see if we can't make some things happen here.
Yeah. So is there a cost to this?
There is a cost.
Okay, I see ticket types. Okay, tell me about that.
There are five different ticket types. Oh. The tablers have a ticket. If you're going as a table helper, it doesn't cost you anything to get in if you're not going to eat. If you're going to eat and visit everything and attend everything, then it's $25. The tabling is $45. And then if you want to see the Garrison Keillor show, that's $45 altogether, and that includes entrance to the festival.
So the $25 is really the festival without Garrison Keillor. The $45 includes him.
That's right.
And okay, then if that's you're a pretty good deal.
And if you're a student, it's only $10.
Okay, John and I would go as table helpers because you said that's free.
And grandpas, you got to save your money for
right,
your kids,
right? The raging grandpas. I like that, actually. We gotta put this together. We got to put together our own little band, the Raging Grandpas.
Let's work on that. We can shake it up.
Absolutely we can.
So if we want to talk about somebody close by who's coming, we have a couple of opportunities there. There's a very fine woman named Pa Kong, who's from the Hmong American Center, and she's been involved in healthcare for a long time and the equity in healthcare. Mm-hmm. She's part of a group that we're doing called Diverse Voices, Equity and Inclusion.
Okay.
So she's representing the Hmong community, and then Juan Corpus is the DEI vice president for New North. And then there's Jason Wright, who's Brothers Helping Brothers, and the three of them are going to be part of a panel that's a breakout session called Diverse Voices, Equity and Inclusion. So that's kind of fun.
That's kind of cool that you're talking a little bit about the healthcare and the equity in healthcare, but to have someone from the New North, that's going to be like an economic discussion on making sure that all parties are being represented.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's another fellow coming from, he's from Mount Horeb, Jim Vandenbroek, and he's going to be working, talking with us about rewards for sustainable farming. So how do we slow down runoff of farms? And he's looking at the complexities of farming and sustainability, and how do we reward farmers for doing better things?
Right, because people in this community, in the state, we're not big on being critical of farmers because we have so much respect for them, and we know that's where we get our food from. But runoff is an issue,
and it comes a lot of it from
farming. So to reward someone, and that's this whole thing—the carrot or the stick, right? And the carrot is.
And
where you want to go? That's interesting to me.
Yep, his program is talking about the carrots.
Yeah.
Yep, and another one. You know, we run the gamut. There's Roe Parker, who's coming in from Madison, and he's going to be talking about artificial intelligence, AI, and how to take advantage of that in this coming political season. How can you learn more about what you can do with AI and how it can help your campaign, for example? So that's kind of a neat, very immediate thing we're talking about.
From today to when the event is, which is, when is it, Saturday?
Saturday, coming Saturday.
AI is going to change. Right?
And the amount of disinformation that comes at us from that is going to...
Every day you read something about AI. That would be great. That will be educational for everyone, no matter what organization you're with. I mean, to hear... Polk is his name? What's his...
Roe Parker.
Oh, Parker. Okay.
Yep, Roe cool. Parker.
That's a good one.
Then there's another one. A group of three who are coming in to talk about For Earth's Sake, and they're working on driving the rights of nature into law. So they're talking about the Great Lakes Rights of Nature Coalition, and one woman's name is Julie de la Terre, and then there's Larry Little George, who's from the Ho-Chunk Nation, and there's a local Appleton alder named Alex Schultz, and the three of them are going to talk about rights of nature.
Yeah, and that Great Lakes thing, there's work being done on that, and there's more work that needs to be done, but there is a pretty strong effort to protect, you know, what we have with the Great Lakes. And you know, remember that one, what, governor from, I don't know, Arizona, not from Arizona, he's from New Mexico, Richards? He's like, oh, maybe I'll just run a pipe up to the Great Lakes. And we're like, ah, you're not going to do that. I mean, that's, we're going to need to preserve that. And it's something that we don't want people tampering with. So I think that's great that you have a coalition talking or a group talking about that, because that's so important as we talk about nature. I mean, people sometimes think outdoors, the woods, but those Great Lakes are, I mean, we're very, very fortunate to have that here.
What about your photography, literature, and film session?
Oh, my. I'm so glad you brought that up. We have Art and Don Shigoni coming, and they have been worldwide presenters on the Native American culture, getting their version of the history out there.
Oh, awesome.
They've got a huge display, like almost like a museum display of images and artifacts. They have dance. There's film. There's all kinds of stuff going on with that, and it's very big, and that's happening twice during the day. So it's called A Call for Peace.
Awesome. Very cool.
Well, you got something for everybody here, don't you?
Yeah,
I sure do.
So.
I mean, you really do, especially if you got 50 tables.
When that's just the tablers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Super. And when does it start again, Jane?
The tablers get started at 7:30. The doors open to the public at 8. The program itself starts at 9, and it's over. The program is over at about 5 o'clock, depending on how long John Nichols talks about politics.
Okay, so it's a one-day event, though, right?
A one-day event.
Okay.
And then entertainment is in the evening.
At Lawrence?
At Lawrence in the Warch Campus Center.
Can people just walk up and buy tickets?
They can.
Okay, fantastic.
Do you have a website they can go to in the meantime?
WIGrassrootsnetwork.com.
Awesome. Thanks for coming in. This
great.
Is very interesting.
Super Jane.
All right, let's talk about what's going on in our community, and this is very important. What an opportunity to learn a little bit more about grassroots events in the state of Wisconsin. Yeah,
very
thanks
cool.
for coming in, Jane. It's great.
Thanks so much.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having
you
me.
You bet. We got to set a quick break. Mind of the Mayor, back after this. Minor the Mayor here on a good-looking Monday morning. It's Monday today, right?
All day.
All right. 48 degrees Green Bay, 48 in Appleton, 51 in Oshkosh. Slight winds out there. Nice day to get out there and do a little bit of everything. A lot of rain coming up, it looks like, in the forecast, but mild temperatures in the 60s, maybe up to 70 again.
On Wednesday, she said.
Yeah.
Brooke said, yeah, that's been great.
Take some of that sweet, sweet action.
Love it.
Can't wait to get my bike. Oh.
That's right. You're going to get your new bike?
You know what I'm thinking,
coming in tomorrow?
I think so. You know what I mean? I don't want to wear a helmet.
Ooh, Johnny, that's not, especially somebody, everybody knows you, you're going to get some hate mail on that. You got to show your example to adults, but to youth especially.
Can
you
know, I finish?
Right helmet.
Can I finish?
Yeah. You know what I'll do for, this is what I'll do for you. So my helmet, I can't wear it anymore, but it says Mayor on it. It's a very cool helmet. So I liked wearing it. So we'll get helmets, mine on the Mayor or John Mino, so that people, you need to wear a helmet.
Well, I was thinking about wearing one of those soft helmets that the NFL is using now. They're allowing players to wear those. I was thinking about just having one of those.
Don't think that's going to...
Why? I think that would work out great.
Do you?
I do. Don't you?
Those falls, I mean, there's people that you know that...
Well, they're using those in the NFL. They're using those in the NFL these days.
I would think a bike helmet would look cooler than those.
Do you?
Yeah. All right. So I don't know. And you're all about that. So
what if I had one of my old football helmets, I took the face mask off?
I that would look so nerdy. Yeah, you can do what you want. I just think it's important that you wear a helmet.
You know what I'd look like? Who would I look like?
That face in a little helmet, Jim Plunkett.
Where did that come from?
But doesn't he?
Where did Jim Plunkett come from out of the blue?
Because like his head not fit in the helmet? Am I missing this? I got the wrong guy.
No, I think you got the right guy, but I just didn't know I would conjure up images of Jim Plunkett with you.
I'm thinking of you're going to wear your grade school helmet, and you've grown since then, and I just thought it would be a really squished-in face, and then I don't know, Jim Plunkett popped into my mind.
Wow, okay.
Anyway, back to what are you going to do? You got to wear a helmet. That's my point. Whatever you do, but...
Is it legal? I mean, what's the motorcycle law? It's not required,
no.
Right?
Well, okay. They did away with that a long time ago.
Okay.
Like in the 70s, okay. Right? 70s?
I didn't know if each state was different or whatever with motorcycles.
Well, that could be.
I don't think it's a universal law in any way. Do you?
No, I don't.
I don't think so.
But Wisconsin did away with that helmet thing a long, long time ago. And,
okay.
You know.
I would never ride on a motorcycle without a helmet.
Me either.
I would never do that. I don't, but I don't go real fast on a bike. Do I really need it?
Remember, Officer Craig brought that helmet in for
you.
Yeah.
Well, it's a kid's helmet, though. It's a children's helmet.
Yeah.
And I had it on backwards.
Yeah. I think, Jim, you were gone that day.
Yeah, you were gone. Yeah. No, Officer Craig brought one down for me. They give them away, the police officers give them away to kids.
There's some cool looking helmets out there.
I got to get a cool looking helmet.
Yeah.
And
I
the reason I'm saying this is because I was scarred a little bit. I told you I was on a poster. And me and Murphy,
I think you told me that.
Yeah, I did. It was with Chad Clifton of the Packers.
Yeah.
And I had the helmet on, and I looked so dorky, and it was on a poster.
Well.
And it's like, ugh.
Okay, I who said you look dorky?
Murphy.
Well.
Katie.
Okay, I would say the same thing.
All
you say
of them.
That, and you're not even wearing a helmet. So, okay.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
You got Murph's number real quick, Todd?
I think I do.
Call him real quick. I want to see what he says about this. Because he gave me so much crap that it's like, I will never wear a bike helmet in public ever again.
Mm.
Yeah.
You were scarred by something Murphy said?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Well, it was on a poster. It was all over town.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Well,
okay.
All right.
I would just, anyway, I'm looking out for you, but it's your decision. There's no law.
All right.
You know.
And I will say this. I saw that TV show about the old Los Angeles Lakers where the coach was on his bike going to play tennis. And he had just moved there,
right.
And something happened with his brakes, and he hit the brake, and it stopped, like, right away. And he just went flying right off the front.
Think about that.
And busted his head up for I don't think he was ever the same.
Okay, then you're not going to wear a helmet?
I didn't say I wasn't, Jim. But
I thought you did.
All I'm saying is I don't go super fast, so I'm not sure if I need one, if I'm just kind of, you know, chugging along.
People get killed walking.
I know
you
that.
Get brain injuries walking, so I don't know. I'll tell you what, Todd, we're going to pitch in and get you. You buy a helmet, a base price helmet, like, and then we'll get you upgrade you to the Nike. We'll pay that marketing cost. So if the helmet's, you know, if a regular helmet is $35 and the Nike or the one that looks really cool is like $65, we'll pay the difference.
I want one like the old Mino bike team from Italy used to wear.
Those are cool.
I need one of those.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to get one of those.
Those might be really expensive. So.
Well, I'm still going to work on it. I'm going to get a Mino bike. What do you think about that?
I
found him on the internet.
I know. I'm with the helmet.
So I'm going to get one.
I'll help with the helmet.
All right.
But
fine.
Yes.
Okay. Let me guess. Murphy went to voicemail, right? Because he's golfing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or did he just say, I'm about to tee off? What did he say?
He didn't say anything.
What did he say?
Just message. He left a message.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So he didn't give a message back?
No,
that's him. Yeah, unbelievable. Thanks a lot, Murph.
Well,
wow.
Yeah.
What? He might be on his way back, though, from Florida right now. One of the things to talk about with Gary Drzewicki. We could have talked to him for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
With different things.
He would have stayed.
But Tommy Thompson was pretty good at going to the small towns and everything like that and getting involved, wasn't he?
He's from Elroy.
Okay, I don't even know where that is, but yeah.
Right.
Okay.
That's where he's from.
But he was, I mean,
no doubt, Johnny. He was, you know... He's the governor you could have a beer with.
That's what I mean.
Steak.
Old school, kind of.
Old school. And his speeches were at that level. And they weren't over...
Right.
Ted, not... I don't want to say they weren't big words, but they were just really... You could relate to the guy. It's like, oh, that's my neighbor talking right there. So,
right.
Yeah. And I can see him leaving with his detail... Security detail, leaving the polka thing and getting done saying, like, you know what, turn around. I want to go back to that. That is like, I think that's a really cool story that the senator shared.
I did, too. I thought
us.
That was a great story.
Yeah. So, anyway.
But did you deal with him a lot?
No. And I was kind of a Jim Doyle, Governor Walker.
Okay. Who was at the Super Bowl? Who else came up to Jerry Jones's box? Was the governor there?
No.
No. Okay. All right.
Walker was there.
Did Thompson used to come to Packer games? I know he was here for the Packers celebration after the Super Bowl.
He celebrated. I'm sure he came because Walker came to quite a few games. Governor Doyle. But yeah, I don't. Again, I wasn't really part of. He was with. He went with George Bush as Secretary of Health and Human Services, which is a huge, huge department, and that's tough. He struggled a little bit with that, but that's what he did. So I came in.
What's he doing now? Just retired?
Well, you know, you still see his name on things.
I know.
If there's a fundraiser, special guest, Tommy Thompson. I don't think he's run for anything lately. But, you know, I mean, he should, you know, I mean, he's served this community, this country.
Let's get him on the show.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
We should, because I know he's very good friends with a lot of people in Green Bay. So,
all right.
Anyway. Yes.
All right.
Good guy. All the governors are good. They're all good people. They're fun to be with, and that's how they get so many votes, right? I mean, they're real.
I used to get the governor of Pennsylvania on my radio show years ago.
Who's that? The Irish guy?
What's his name? I can't think of his name now.
Well, but, Mayor Nutter was the mayor.
It's governor.
Governor. I got to think of the governor.
But anyway, because he used to do like a post game show for the Eagles. As a governor.
Did he go on to Homeland Security?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
I can picture him. His name slips me. Okay.
But he'd come on my show on a regular basis and talk football.
Talk about a real guy, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what I mean.
You know, I got to tell you, somebody else who was a real guy was President Obama. Because I was, we had the mayor's conference in January. So we're out at the White House. And it was the playoff game where we sat Rodgers and then he didn't play that game. And he played the next game. He didn't play very well. So— This guy's the president of the country. They're really working on the free world wars and stuff. And we're just going through the line. And he shakes my hand. Oh, Green Bay. He goes, you know, you guys sat Rodgers too long. I was like, wow.
No kidding.
That's cool that he knew that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's the real deal.
All right, we got to set a quick break. Josh Tice, Options for Independent Living. Joining us. Back after this.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Here, good looking Monday morning segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. I don't have them in my home right now. I hope to get them in my home, but the guy sitting next to me has had them in his home for a long time, and he loves them.
I do. You know, and we're talking with Brittany Merlot this morning, and we're just talking to our next guest coming up just about how windy it was. He was out playing soccer with his kid, and some people had to leave. But let me tell you about Pella Windows. You don't hear that. It's quiet. I put Pella Windows in my house, and it was not the cheapest thing I ever did, but it was worth it, right? It saved the heating bill and the air conditioner. But what it really does is it's quiet. And I don't like, anybody who knows me, I do not like loud noises, you know? And
what's it like working with Mino then? I'm just wondering.
I am a loud noise.
If my dog barks, I got that spray thing, and he knows that. Don't do that.
Is he listening right now?
Yeah, he's not listening. He listens to us. My dog listens to us.
Hey, Milton. Milton.
Don't do that. Oh, God, John.
Drives Milton crazy.
But it is. It's just those windows are. We're talking about, you know, when I was mayor, people would complain about the heat bills, you know, and you don't have a lot of choice when it comes to where you're going to get your energy from. It's kind of like WPS, you know. But to reduce your heat bill is windows and doors, period. And Pella, they come in, they have so many options at that place, and they come in, they measure it, they say, well, here's an option. And now they threw out this, which they didn't have when I bought my windows, is financing. It's like, you don't have to pay anything
phenomenal
for like 3 years or something, or 2 years. So you got to give Pella a call. I mean, it's worth it. I know people maybe aren't thinking about windows right now because it's going to be summer, but they open really easy too. So when it comes to the summer weather.
Hey, Todd.
Yes, sir.
Can you get a doorbell sound effect?
Sure.
Don't. No, he's going to do that for my dog. Don't do that. Don't. Okay. Don't do that.
I mean, don't, this is kind of close.
No.
He runs and hides.
He's very shy.
He's such a great. He runs and hides when he hears a doorbell.
He is not a protect. Yeah, I said, well, I bought you to protect me, but no, it's vice versa with him. So anyway.
Josh Tice is joining us. Options for Independent Living. Having grown up with somebody that had some handicaps, I think this is a very important thing. So go ahead and talk a little bit about this, Josh. First of all, and on behalf of, you know, people from my family who have dealt with things, thank you for doing this. I think it's a great opportunity for these people to have a little bit more of a normal life. So go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, thank you. So Options for Independent Living, we're an organization that's disability-led. We serve 17 counties in northeastern Wisconsin. Well, we get into southern and central Wisconsin as well. We get up to Marinette, over to Washera counties, down to Sheboygan. Our mission is to empower people with disabilities to live independently in their home and in the community. So a lot of different things that we do to help people with that. We always feel as an organization that, or we hear a lot from our consumers that, I wish I would have known about Options sooner, or how come I didn't? So this is a great opportunity for us to kind of let people know about us and what we do.
And I think some people can, if they have a disability, it's like, oh, I got to go to a home. And you prevent that on a couple levels. You have a model home right next to NWTC on, is that Country Club? What's the name of that road?
Yep,
that is
Country Club.
Okay.
Yep.
And I remember that was back in the day when it was built and we dedicated that. It was just, people can come and see that. And everything from the fans, the light switches, everything. I mean, you just really show how people
zero clearance on
right, all that stuff. Yeah. And I think you can go through that home and think, this isn't cheap. But you also help people with funding?
We do, yeah. So we help connect people with funding.
I mean, connect, that's what I meant.
Yeah. We work with different state-funded programs that will help people when they're going through the modification process of their home. It can be really complex. It's not cheap. And we help with funding. We're a partner with DHS. Additionally, I think we're coming up on celebrating 25 years at the Showcase Model Home. And we have several thousands of people that come through each year for a tour, just to get some ideas, anything that you can remove from the Showcase Model Home. So we have a lot of different assistive technologies or things to help you with the kitchen, that can be loaned out free of charge for people to try it out at their home before they buy it. We also have Pella windows at the Showcase Model Home.
Well, you know, one of the things though, too, like you're talking about what a possible price is, let's say somebody gets whatever affliction or accident, they're in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. Okay. You want to change out your countertops and cabinets and you're talking like $20,000.
It's extremely expensive, yeah. And I think part of what we do is, and sometimes you put it in and you realize it doesn't work. It's not exactly what you need. And that's what the Showcase Model Home is there for, to allow people
test
to come
run.
In. Test run, exactly. And that can be really important and save people a lot of money in the long run. And also give them ideas for what is possible, because I think at times you just kind of go into this routine where I'm not going to be able to be independent because I just don't know what's all out there. Right. And the Showcase Model Home can give you ideas along with our staff of what you can do, different things that you can put
and
in your home.
What a gift to stay in their own home.
Oh God.
Right. I mean,
that was the worst day of our lives when we had to move my mom and she couldn't stay in her home anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
You was here that all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. We have, I don't think many people are waking up in the morning and saying, gosh, today's the day I want to go to a nursing home. And that service is there for some people. But, anything that we can do, and we do a lot of different things to help keep people in their home.
I know some builders now, though, when I was working with a lot of those guys, they will give people the option, especially if a side bedroom or whatever. Do you want like zero clearance? I think that's zero clearance.
Zero clearance.
So you can roll right into the shower and bathtubs with doors and a lot of little things they can do for just, even if it's not them, maybe the mom, maybe the mother-in-law, maybe somebody like that ends up coming back. So builders are actually, this is such a big thing. Builders are looking at including those things now when they build.
That they are, yes. And we work with many contractors that will come tour the Showcase Model Home for ideas on how to do builds that are accessible. And
do you have, you're 17 counties?
Yes.
See, our radio station's only in three, but we're working on it, Todd. We're going to see the brass on Saturday. Do you have models elsewhere, or is Green Bay your model?
Green Bay is our model, our only model. And it's unique to the state. And I think even the country. I don't know where there's another Showcase Model Home that's open to the community that allows people to come in, use the equipment. And
you know something interesting? We're big backers of a hopefully a great thing that's going to happen here at Green Bay, small homes for veterans. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think when they build those, they should think about building some completely handicap accessible the way you're talking here.
Yes. And we partner with many organizations that work with people with disabilities and get consulted with those things that they're working through. So, yeah, absolutely. really everyone, we're kind of all temporarily able-bodied, right? Where we never know what's going to happen. So we always like to hear when people are planning ahead and making their homes accessible, because those are calls that we get all the time, is we looking for, you know, accessible apartment complexes or accessible housing.
So we're with Josh Thies?
Tice, sorry.
I saw the TH. Tice Options for Independent Living.
Oh, you didn't see the TIC after that, huh?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay.
Either. Okay. And like I said, I've been to your place many, many times, mm-hmm. and I think it's just a great thing that we have in Brown County, and I'm surprised other communities haven't. And that was built by a lot of charity. I mean,
yes, absolutely.
A lot of people stepped up besides Pella, but a whole bunch mm-hmm. of people. I remember when that was built and had to get rezoned and everything, and the community was like, yeah, we'll take this. I mean, that's Indian Trails. I mean, that's a pretty hoity-toity area out there, and they're like, look, we need this in our neighborhood as well. So
Do enough people know about it?
You know, I think people will look for the service when they need it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But we spend a lot of our time educating people that it's available, but we continue to hear, you know, I wish I would have known about options
exactly,
sooner.
Exactly, that's what I mean. Yeah.
So with that, Josh, how do they, if they want to learn about it, you must have a very active website. And
yep, we have our website's www.optionsil.org. And people can also just call our office at 920-490-0500. They can talk with one of our aisle coordinators or one of our staff, and they can set up a tour, come through options. Our staff go out into the community as well, so they can come to your home and give you ideas in your home about what you can do to improve accessibility. So there's, you know, reach out to us. We have an active Facebook page. Reach out to us through Facebook.
Can you get your phone number again? Because if you're driving, I didn't write it down, and I'm sitting right across from you. So 920-490-0500.
Okay. You have an incredible number of amputee friends.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, sometimes they'll use the chair just because the legs get so sore mm-hmm. at times and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And I know one of them got just little things. Like they did lower a countertop mm-hmm. with the sink type thing, and having a different type of shower where you can get into makes so much of a difference. Two things made such a difference in his life, you wouldn't believe it.
Absolutely. And you see that bathrooms and kitchens are kind of the two areas.
Those were the
two. You know, getting in, modifications in those areas can really improve independence and access for folks living in their home. We have a community loan durable medical equipment closet that we serve about 1,500 people a year out of, but that is just DME, small portable ramps, wheelchairs, walkers, knee scooters that we loan out free. And they're donated equipment from the community that's unused.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's great what you do. And, you know, I when we first got on the air, we were talking a lot about, you know, Green Bay, Brown County being, you know, chosen as the number one place to live by U.S. News and World Report. That was a huge honor for the city. And I think it's places like yours that they looked at. You know, that's a great service we have, and it's no cost. They can call, you get them, direct them to the Facebook or website and come in and take a tour. And you've had open houses a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And
you, mm-hmm.
So, or they can take a private tour as well.
Private tour. We do open houses. We do a lot with education. So we're right next to NWTC.
Right.
So we have a lot of classes that come through, and there are students that are entering healthcare that can, you know, influence and educate people as they're experiencing maybe a change or something that's going on.
I think it's awesome.
It is. Get those students from WMC, from Wisconsin, you know, the kids are going to be doctors in a few years. You know, that's a good group to go through there because, you know, healthcare is such a broad brush mm-hmm. and they need to know a little bit about everything and mm-hmm. a lot about, they have to know, actually doctors have to know a lot about everything. You know, they're.
Yeah.
Just one other thing I want to ask about doorways as far as the width and everything like that. Are most of the normal ones, if they went to look at a house, would it be wide enough for them?
A lot of times not.
That's what I thought.
And you see people bang up their knuckles.
Yeah.
A little wider doorway, 32 inches, making room to be able to pass through that doorway.
Or even 36.
Really, 36 too,
But you think you drive into the garage. I mean, most houses, it's two steps to get into the.
Well, that's what I mean. When you have these ones, some of these builders are building them, so it's just like bing, bing.
You're talking about that zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. Being able to just.
Yeah.
But would you agree, Josh, that any house can be modified?
Many can, yes. Yeah.
I bet that.
You can do a lot with. So ramps, the guidelines are for every foot of run, you can have an inch of raise. So if you have to get up 24 inches, you need 24 feet of run.
That's why they're so long a lot of times. Yeah. I worked with a group where we used to do ramps
okay.
for people. Yeah.
But I'm just saying it can be done. And I think
It just takes up more room than people would realize sometimes. Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff, like I live in a historic neighborhood and the guy wanted to get one and the neighbors had to like sign off on it, which is fine. But yeah, there's some zoning things, but I'm sure you help them with all that as well.
Yeah, we point them in the right direction and help with that. Yeah. And the contractors that we work with will know those, those guidelines as well.
Well, this is great. Josh Theis, Options for Independent Living. I think this is a really great thing. I know it's changed people's lives when they've, because you know what? I mean, we're talking guys, you know, 25, 26 years old who were up and running marathons and whatever. Now they're in a wheelchair or waiting for their prosthetics and things like that. And places like this have helped change their lives and make them feel like, yeah, I'm, you know, we're good. I can handle this myself. I don't need anybody. Right. That's the biggest thing. And I love the term independent. There's no more important word in your title and whatever than independent. For these people to be independent is so huge.
Yeah. And in their own home.
Yep.
Which is, you're checking some great things here, Josh.
No, thanks for doing this. Thanks for doing this. All the respect in the world.
I want to mention your predecessor again, you know, Tom, how much I enjoyed. He really got this whole thing going. And he was one who lived in a wheelchair and he really had a lot of input into the community on what we can do. So I know he passed away, but he was just one of great, great people here in Green Bay that I sure enjoyed working with. But yeah, thanks for what you're doing.
Great stuff, Josh.
Thank you.
All the respect in the world for what you do. I want to direct anybody over there. If anybody was kind of half listening and they want to know anything, Options for Independent Living, we'll tell you how to find them over by NWTC and the whole thing. I just think it's a great thing for the community.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Josh Theis. Options for Independent Living. Outstanding. Mind on the Mayor, back after this. Okay, welcome back. I don't understand. I mean, the big song, 1975, 76, 75, 76. Remember the alligator? Did you do the alligator this, Todd?
I never did the alligator.
Did you do the alligator?
Never heard of it.
Is that this thing?
No, it's when you get down on the floor.
That's
girls get down
worm.
On the floor. No, it was the alligator.
No, it wasn't.
It was called the alligator.
No.
Todd.
Never heard it. I don't think
Amanda?
Is that a Nugati thing? That's a new guy.
All I'm thinking about is the worm. I have no idea, but I'm begging you to show us right now.
Where have you people been all your lives?
We need an example. Show us.
My pants are tight.
Yeah. It's actually called the Gator Dance, maybe?
Maybe.
Okay. I never heard
any
of that.
Any ladies
either.
Out there, any ladies, please let me know, did you do the alligator? It was really big at the Alibi Bar in Marquette.
See, I think this is one of your.
I don't think
things.
It is. I think it was a nationwide thing when that song would come on.
Did they feature it in Animal House?
Possibly.
No.
But I mean, Animal House was
that was
62,
Shout.
You know, but Shout. Yeah, I think so. But no, anyway, help me out. Somebody please text me. Let me know. Do you remember the alligator when they'd play that song? We'd be at a disco and they'd play that song and all the girls would get down on the floor and do this whole thing.
Lay on the floor?
They'd lay on the floor.
No, I think you got them mixed up, Johnny.
No,
so
I don't. Okay,
Amanda was searching and she found Taking Care of Business Gator Dance.
Yeah,
really?
Okay, there you go.
Yep, I'm watching it now. They're down on all four. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
What?
Yep.
What?
Yep. Yep.
There's a lot of kicking.
Yep.
There's a lot of kicking. There's a lot of rolling around.
Yep.
There's cowboy boots.
Yep.
There's... Oh, my goodness. It's kind of like the chicken dance, but at some point
you
go down
on the ground. Yeah. Yeah, that was the Gator Dance. 1975, that was huge.
Really?
I bet. Quick poll. People out here, quick poll. Could you do a quick poll, Todd?
Sure.
We haven't had a poll all day long. Quick poll. Did you ever see, were you ever in an establishment, or do you remember the Gator Dance whenever that song played? Yes. Oh, yeah, it was big. It was big. Oh, I personally didn't do it. Is that you? Somebody telling you, hey.
No, it's Aaron Popke.
Okay. Oh, awesome. But yeah, you never did the Gator Dance.
No, I never even heard that worm thing. I think that worm, though, was
you watch so many people are going to be like, oh, my God, I totally remember the Gator Dance. Alibi Bar or whatever discos there were in Green Bay. It was a big disco place type thing. Yeah. Yes or no? Gator Dance, yes or no? Yeah. So every time I hear that song, I just think of these women on the floor doing this crazy dance. They'd lay around the floor and do all this stuff.
Todd, I think the Worm was in Animal House. Okay, and what was the big song with that?
Shout.
So the text coming in, we've got Nope, the Worm. No, only the Worm.
But not the Gator Dance.
But not the Gator Dance so far.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Marquette was a lot more advanced than other places.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. It was different.
Yeah.
I know advanced would be the right word.
I think advanced is a good word. Yep.
A little bit different.
And they'd be out there in little halter tops and their tube tops and their stuff. Their satin shorts. And
did guys do it?
No. Guys didn't do it. It's only the girls. Only the girls would do it. They'd get on the floor and they'd do this whole thing, the Gator Dance.
I can't believe.
Really?
That doesn't sound like something.
Well, Todd looked it up. Or Amanda looked it up.
We've got a video of it, Jim.
Okay.
You want to come in here real quick and take a look at it?
No, look at it.
Sure.
I think you'd enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right,
go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. I hope I'm not in it.
Yeah. In your Daisy Dukes.
In my afro. That'd be a pretty hot thing. Yeah, go ahead, Jim. Comment on it if you want. Go ahead. While you watch it. The Gator Dance, 1975, 76. All I said, Jim goes, looks like wow. What, Jim?
Looks like what? Now he doesn't want to say.
So, Jim, what did you think of the Gator? Did you guys have that at Roncalli School Dances?
No. Couple things. Looks like an exercise class. And quite honestly, it looks like some of them should be in an exercise class.
Wow. Wow. My apologies to my partner. Wow.
I didn't see any guys on the floor.
No,
so
guys didn't do it.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
I can't believe nobody around here remembers a Gator Dance. We're 100% no so far.
No, 100%. That's pretty
high.
That
was such a big thing. Maybe it was a Youper thing. Somebody said, are you sure it wasn't a strip club?
See, now that? Okay,
no,
you could
it
be
was not.
Something there.
No, it was not. But, yeah.
Looked like there could have been a pool in the middle. I didn't really look at the video that close. But
maybe
it
was UP. If we contacted girls from the UP,
totally.
They'd be like, I was all over the Gator
Dance. I don't doubt that.
There is a pole in the middle, but it's more of like a structural thing. Than, yeah,
structural. Right.
Oh, yeah. It's gold.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys standing around with dollar bills. But no, that was...
Wow.
Quite frankly, this looks exhausting. I would never want to do this.
I know.
Like you get a couple like drinks in you.
Absolutely.
Maybe. But even then, people would be puking.
They're
up, they're down, they're kicking.
I know.
They're up, they're down, they're kicking.
Was the Gator Dance just for that song or was it?
Just that song. Just when that song would come on, all the girls would scream and the guys would leave the floor and they would go out and they would do that whole thing. Alibi Bar, Marquette, Michigan, 1975.
Well.
And you weren't a part of that, obviously.
Wasn't Evil and Ron's in
maybe
Manitowoc.
76. 75 or 76.
Yeah.
Either
no.
one. Yeah. Maybe 77. Yeah.
Wow.
No?
Okay, I totally.
Did you just go to that one? Wasn't there a dance club outside of Manitowoc, outside of Two Rivers? Some place like out in a field? There's a big.
No,
just...
we did all roller skating.
Was that a roller skating place?
Yeah.
Well, I thought there was like an underage club where everybody could get into free, or not free, but kind of underage and they could
drink.
There was
that. That was out in the country, though.
That's
that
what
was
I mean.
Not,
what was the name of that?
I don't want to say that.
Well, go ahead. It's all right. It's been closed for 100 years.
It was. I think, yeah. Well, that was not good.
Okay. It was not good. It was not good. I'm not going to mention it. It was not good.
Well, it was. He served everyone underage.
Oh, really?
It was obvious. You could.
Well, okay. Don't say it then. Yeah.
No.
But that was the big place.
That's
for,
what I heard, at least.
Oh, okay. You didn't know for sure. Huh?
No, I just,
no. Okay.
Rumors.
How did? By the way, what kind of? This is something somebody asked me. What kind of a car did you have again?
Dodge Super B. It's a 383 four barrel 4-speed.
What did you do to pay for that?
My dad bought it.
Your dad bought it. Oh my God. Todd, you listen to this?
I just.
My parents helped me buy a 1984 Chevy Chevette.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Three on the floor.
Yeah.
Okay.
My
ours
dad,
is four.
My dad gave me his 1970 Chevy Bel Air after I got it smashed up. He gave it to me.
Ooh, that's kind of a cool car, though.
It was.
Yeah, that's not a bad car.
No, but for 1970, a four-door with a smashed-in backside and Mino for Sheriff bumper sticker.
Maybe.
Not exactly a chick magnet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Well, this wasn't really a chick magnet car. The car was, but it was bucket seats.
Yeah.
I mean,
Well, that's never a hindrance.
Okay. All right.
But your dad bought that for you. You were the most spoiled, privileged person.
I was not. I was not. My dad.
You're with me on this? My dad. You're both with me on this.
Kids, you can't go out because it just rained. There's worms on the ground. That's right. You can't stay in.
You guys could slip with those night crawlers there. You stay out. Hey, Jimmy, come on back in there. Come on. You know what we're going to do? We're going to listen to some barbershop quartet. Here we go.
Goody.
Polka's on Sundays is coming on. Margie, come on. Let's cut a rug. You know what? Hey, Margie, I was at a club the other night. They were doing this thing called the Gator Dance. What do you think? We do it to Eddie Brzezinski. I think it'll go over good. He's got the bohemian thing going today.
John.
Well, thanks, everybody. Right. Hope you have a great National State of Wisconsin Polka Day, celebrating it today. Thanks, everybody. Back in tomorrow morning.